We're reading from Kabbalah for the Student, page 150. Two evils in the revelation of the... Or you can ask questions at Kavda TV. Chosen questions will be heard during the lesson.
So this article is a very basic article, although Bala Sulam wrote it for the time being as a plain writing. He didn't prepare it for print, and therefore we didn't gain the reward of widening of the topic. But actually, this is all of our reality, our whole history, that in order to bring the creature to the degree of the Creator, the creature must be included from his nature, the desire to receive, and from the nature of the Creator, the desire to bestow, and that both those forms of nature will be embedded within the creature and working together as a desire to receive in order to bestow, with which he will simulate his form to the Creator and reach his degree, and in this degree he will fill himself with the same pleasure that the Creator wanted to fill the creature with, not the desires that we wanted or the pleasures that we wanted to receive, but the ones that are unlimited and the Creator has intended for us. And so in order to pass all these stages, we need to go through our development in preparation, in concealment, that within this concealment, this passage that we go through, it is called that a handmaid is an heir to her mistress, supposedly. And also in all the degrees that we can go, but when we go up on the left, we always go under the control of the handmaid, and on the right hand, her mistress, left handmaid, right hand, mistress, and then each time when we go up in a degree, we receive a special opportunity to govern the mistress above the handmaid, although prior to that, naturally, it was as a necessary condition, it is set up that the handmaid is the one that heirs the place of her mistress. The handmaid and her mistress, it's clear to us that it is our ego, is the our ego is the handmaid, and the Creator, our desire to bestow, is her mistress. And this way we advance. It's, of course, in our history, when it goes through us, it's not that simple like this story, but we need to learn this on our flesh. And when we learn, then we also learn that all of reality divides into Galgalat Einayim and Achap. We spoke about the fact that first the Galgalat Einayim needs to be corrected. They are the easiest kilim to correct. And later the Achap can be corrected. Achap cannot be corrected before that. Achap needs to be corrected immediately because it doesn't have sparks of bestowal, and therefore it cannot be corrected stage after stage from heavy to from light to heavy. Rather, only Galgalat Einayim, which was shattered, was drowned within the Achap, and therefore the Galgalat Einayim can take out of the Achap through a certain discernment and the reforming light to attract them, and the Achap that is adhered to it can also come up as the Achap of ascent. And in this way, we take Galgalat Einayim and Achap, which received now from the time of exile. And this way, we correct this part, which is called Yashar Kel, Israel, whoever, for all those who are awakened, all those that can correct themselves. This is the first part, and then the first part, after the first part is corrected, then we correct the Achap. So So this part that can be corrected because it has sparks of bestowal are called Israel, Yeshakel, and called internality, the reality, and the part of the Achab, although there are coarse and difficult and parts for revelation of the Creator, and those are the real kilim of the creation. And this part, which is more fine and pure, which is called Israel, those sparks don't truly belong to the creation. There's something very strange that exists in all of the kilim of reception, only in order to take them out in the end towards the correction. And they themselves are not from this world. And we also see in this world also that Israel is a very strange thing, that is, no one understands what Israel is, and that everyone sees in it the source for all the problems and concerns and so forth. And it's really true that it's like this. Until Israel will function properly, the attitude of the world towards them will be in such a way. We understand this. Israel understands this. Both the world, how it relates to this world or not. And a student will determine these relations, because this is really these sparks are that are within the desire to receive. They appear to be something foreign. And it doesn't matter how beneficial they can be, these people here in this world, whether for development, technological development, and so forth. No one needs that, but they appear to be something that is strange, and there's no place for them here. Until they will reveal that their place, especially because they are strange, that this place is in order to save the world. And then therefore, the method with which these sparks of the shattered kilim can exit their exile of Galgalat Einayim into the Achab, which are under the control of the Achab, this method is called the wisdom of Kabbalah, that they can receive the revelation of the property bestowed on them, or the revelation of the Creator, which is as it's called. And this way they take themselves out through with the help of the reformulite. This means that the method is to explain to a person how he can, with all the means that are in his disposal in this world, to arrange himself in such a way that he starts to receive from the upper degree, the upper spiritual degree from him, a force that of bestowal that is the light that reforms, and this force influences him, bestows on him, on his sparks, and starts to take him out of the Achab, out of the vessels of reception, out of the exile that he exists, by restricting the exile, and does a restriction on it, and then takes out the initial sparks from the Achab. And this is called the spiritual birth, or the exodus from Egypt. And this method, how to use the upper light in order to raise himself from under the control of the ego, the control of the externals, of the nation of the world, the handmaid that controls her and governs her mistress. How to exit all this is called the method of Kabbalah, or wisdom Kabbalah, or the Torah, because the light within it reforms you. What does it mean? That it reforms, it raises those sparks to the place that they belong. And in this whole process, which we learn, Gilgata Ve'naim are scrutinized, and from all of the desire to receive, and they exit from there, and this is called the group of Abraham was established out of Babylon, and passed itself and disconnect from Babylon to Canaan, and all of these sparks received discernments, and later it was the dipping of them within the desire to receive, which is called the exile to Egypt, and the spiritual birth, which when they exited this exile throughout from the reforming light with the help of Moses, and came to the reception of the Torah, meaning that the Torah, the light, operated on them, and the light of the salvation from Egypt, and through the giving of the method of Kabbalah, the light that reforms, they can already correct themselves, and all the desires of Egypt begin to be discovered one after another in the generation of the desert, and later in those that are called, those that that are in the generation of the conquering of the land when they enter Israel, and this is reception in order to bestow when we enter the Israel, versus bestow in order to bestow, which is in the desert. And when they come to the degree of the first temple, Mochin of Chaya, meaning they reached actually the their private final correction, this whole group. And immediately the corruption started, the flaw started, and it came in order to completely have them leave the whole method of Kabbalah, and they dropped to the intention in order to receive, and they included with the rest of the Babylonians that meanwhile have dispersed all around the world, and this way they entered under the control of the in order to receive, and since then the handmaid governed and controlled her mistress for 2,000 years. And after the inclusion that was ended between Gilgat Ha'Einayim and Achab, between the nations of Israel, the world and Israel, which was mutual between within each other, then Baal HaSulam tells us that this mutuality operated for the need of the correction of the Achab. That from the beginning, we know that this is what needs to be corrected, which is the Achab. And Gilgat Ha'Einayim is a means or a help for correcting the Achab. And therefore now we need to take out, first of all, from exile, the Gilgat Ha'Einayim, the internal vessels, the sparks, with the help of the reforming light, by disseminating the wisdom of Kabbalah, although we're disseminating it all over the world, who knows where there are more sparks. And whoever gets close to us is actually, first of all, entering the method of correction. Whoever is revealed afterwards is the nation of Israel according to birth, that were once anyhow in the attainment of spirituality, and therefore these sparks exist in them, only they are concealed, and we need to publicize to them as well in every possible way, the method of Kabbalah, or first the method of mutual guarantee, and later Kabbalah. And then comes the turn of the nations of the world, who are corrected at once. So if Israel will be corrected more or less, both internally, which is those with a point in the heart, and also an externality, which is the nation of Israel, the physical nation of Israel, then we can also approach the nations of the world and correct them completely. But for the meantime, we need to publicize the wisdom of Kabbalah to them too, because Baal HaSulam also writes in the Shofar of the Messiah, and in others, in Exile and Redemption, that Israel is not redeemed other than when the wisdom of Kabbalah will be publicized and disseminated in the nations of the world. This means that the nations of the world need to take Israel on their shoulders and bring them to the temple. That especially there will be a pressure from the outside on Israel so that they will perform the correction. But the method of correction that was revealed before everyone at the time of the first temple and somewhat in the second temple. Later was concealed by Rabbi Shimon. He wrote the book in which is the source of the upper force, the reforming force. And he also concealed it by the help of Rabbi Abbas, it's written. And other than that, he also concealed the book itself as well, and it was only revealed later, probably according to a certain plan from above, by the widow of Rabbi Shimon, Moshe de Leon. And Barasano explains to us that anyhow, it was revealed before the time was ready for correction, and therefore there are two evils. One evil, that it weakens Israel because they feel that there is wisdom, because the wisdom of Kabbalah was received by all the sages of the world, and they got, and therefore they developed philosophy and theology and so forth. And there's also a weakness in the nations of Israel that they have something similar, and also the nations of the world also received something big and certain in their hands that supposedly it's theirs, and they are so big and spiritual. And from this, certainly much more difficult work has been done to take out all these vessels and operate on them for correction. Otherwise, the wisdom of Kabbalah would not be publicized. And therefore, well, he's continuing here. Maybe you should read
page 150, Woe If I Tell. They do this for fear that the matters will fall into the hands of idol worshippers. As Rashbi wrote, if I tell, the sinners will know how to serve their idols. After all, we suffer plenty even for the petite things that they have stolen from our vessels, which have seep to them past all the vigil guarding.
As we spoke about the fact that even in the days of the prophets, the first philosophers, Plato and Aristo and those and others, especially Greece was flourishing at the time. And they took from the wisdom of Kabbalah many pieces of knowledge and developed their whole wisdom, the philosophy, and also who writes it from the philosophers in the Middle Ages, Reichen writes. Reichen writes that the wisdom of Kabbalah, that philosophy came from Kabbalah, that those sages, those initial sages, Plato, studied the wisdom of Kabbalah, he read it and made it into philosophy, and from this our whole relationship comes to this and in general to the existence, to reality. Yes.
The reason for the concealment of Kabbalah. This clarifies what would unfold if our sages revealed the wisdom of the hidden to all. And since we conceal, as long as our commoner is unfit to be given the secrets of the Torah, he has no knowledge at all in the wisdom of religion. Hence, such a person is obviously inspired and elated when he finds the trifling wisdom and explanations in their theology, whose essence is but an assortment of stolen concepts from our hidden, with added literary dainties. Once one sees that, he says and denies our practical law, and ends in complete heresy.
I don't have what to add. This is what's happening in the field. It's clear to everyone. Yes, if we get deeper in theology and in general and in religions especially, we see that the whole approach the whole picture, all the names, some of the traditions. It all comes from the wisdom of Kabbalah, only in a change, in a different dressing that they did. And if the wisdom of Kabbalah wouldn't have been revealed, they wouldn't have anything of their own, because a person cannot invent such things. And therefore, it's as if a great evil, but there's no good without evil. Through this we advance. By doing this we can include and become more sophisticated throughout the thousands of years. On one hand, religions are a thing that distances a person from religion, from the one force, the upper force. And on the other hand, it anyhow is a mechanism, this system, this machine works on a person and prepares him throughout the thousands of years to the fact that he becomes really from a caveman to someone who can feel and understand and get closer to this spiritual concept somewhat. He's still far, he's still praying to a wall and to an idol and a picture. But anyhow, or he describes it to himself, you know. A person in this world needs some kind of picture to describe himself. He's incapable of being towards a property or spirit, or just like that. He's incapable. He must have something to grab onto, but at least to get him closer to something as much as possible, something more obscure and not physical. This is anyhow something that religions have done. And we need to also understand that this comes from inclusion of the vessels of reception and the vessels of bestowal, that there is no evil without bad, no bad with good, and no good without evil. If it won't be dressed with evil, we won't the reception, the wisdom of Kala will not be revealed. The law of equivalence of form tells us this. What does it say, this law? That if I want to receive something, I need to receive it in the wrapping of the ego, of the desire to receive, that it's good for me. Otherwise, I won't take it. Therefore, all the rules come to us, the actions, the spiritual actions come to us in a wrapping of all sorts of methods. All this for the purpose of correction, yes?
A handmaid that is heir to her mistress. This is called a handmaid that is heir to her mistress. Since the very power of the mistress, the dominion of the internality, is by the force of our wisdom and knowledge, as it is written, we are distinguished, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And now the handmaid has stepped forth and prides herself in public that she is the heir of this wisdom. And you should know that this power of theirs is the shackle by which the legs of the children of Israel are chained in the exile under their dominion.
Questions? Yes?
What is the measurement for a student who already studies Kabbalah, if he studies wisdom or Torah?
It depends what vessels he wants to receive, what he's studying. That's it. It depends. Truly, we're drawn to wisdom. But imagine to yourself that there are no books, there are no pieces of paper, there's no writing utensils, there's nothing. You're sitting and learning. And whatever you learn, you don't remember anything. Only that everything that you learn in order to improve. In order to build new properties so that then the ability to feel the world each time anew comes to you. This is called learning Torah. Yes.
How to cope with the excuse of the explanation that we have to do, dissemination that we have to do, and for that we do need the wisdom. Do we need wisdom in order to disseminate the wisdom of Kabbalah? Do we need wisdom for that?
You need wisdom in order to have a grasp to connect with the light and to change yourself. No more than that. But not the wise man studies. Not the wise man learns, yes.
So what will we tell people then?
In order to come to people, you need to come to them with the wisdom. And slowly, slowly, you explain to them that the main thing is not the amount of knowledge at all, rather to come to the change of my inner desire. Where within it, as much as it will be suitable to light, you will start to feel the spiritual phenomena, yes, which at this point you will feel that it's truly above you, that everything you can, but this, here, you are in, you without any ability to do anything. And this is the place where you raise man and truly change. Yes?
So what can we do with that craving to study wisdom?
To build the faith above knowledge, above will. Create more bestowal that will be within than the form of reception.
First, a person sees that he is now studying wisdom. So what should he do now?
No, we're not canceling the wisdom. We're not annulling it. Rather, you're going with faith above reason. Your knowledge grows more according to the faith. Faith is considered the feeling of the Creator. The sensation of the Creator is according to equivalence of form. So I yearn for the vessel of bestowal, for with this I will be able to receive the revelation of the Creator, to understand Him, to feel Him, with this to give Him contentment, not to fill my vessels, my wisdom vessels. My physical wisdom vessels are only in order for me to know how to format myself and arrange myself for being suitable to the Creator. So that's the kind of intellect that we need. That's the kind of mind we need. Well, some more questions. Yes, Oren.
I have a question about disseminating Kabbalah. I hope I will make it clear. Today we're in a period of time, as he writes here, that the wisdom needs to be revealed to the broad public. And let's say yesterday, it's just an example because I always feel the same thing. For example, yesterday we had an introductory lecture all over Israel. I was in Jerusalem, but we were over 20 places. So let's say I came, I gave a lecture, and always when I finish teaching the wisdom of Kabbalah or introducing Kabbalah to people, I have a feeling of great sorrow. Sorrow for what? Sorrow for the gap there is, the huge gap there is between what I, as an instructor, can give the public to what I see that you give to the public when you disseminate the wisdom of Kabbalah. So the question is, what do we, the friends of the world Kli, your students engaged in disseminating Kabbalah, because it is written that this is what we're supposed to do. What can we do so that in our activity of dissemination and explanation of Kabbalah, it will contain this inner force there is when you speak about Kabbalah with the public, because it is as if we're stealing from the public.
It's not stealing from the public. Rather, it comes out that, in my words, there's more internal force, although words are very not arranged properly. And I'm very heavy in my tongue. What to do? It will pass with time. It'll come with time. It will be anyhow. There's a connection with the text, both in understanding and in feeling more than before. The fact that you're receiving it for the meantime from me and not from your personal attainment, that also, what can we do? This, for the time being, is the process. But it happens. And other than that, what you feel isn't what the audience and what the public feels. Just so you know, that it appears to you that you, that when you're hearing what I'm giving the public, then they're impressed more than what they're impressed from you. It doesn't seem to me that they can tell the difference. This is something that you're differentiating. It's not that they're differentiating, no. Therefore, this gap that you're feeling, okay. But anyhow, we're progressing. We're advancing. This gap will remain also, because every time, as much as we will advance, you will see maybe this gap even more, even bigger. But together with that, you will ascend, you will rise. But the gaps will be bigger. Yes?
The wisdom of Kabbalah was concealed and now it needs to be revealed. People come to it because they feel, or they want to, even without feeling, they want fulfillment for the soul, and that's the only wisdom that can provide it for them. So why is it arranged so now? Why is it arranged so now that as if it is I who have to connect them to this fountain, it is as if there's this great fountain and I have the role that I need to bring the public this contact to this fountain, which is so big.
I can't be connected to the public. There are gaps. You came, you take this place, you have to be, it's like in a tree, you need to be. I can't reach every group. It's not a matter of physicality. It's a matter of the system. I'm incapable. And what you're giving them is exactly what they need. And I wouldn't be better in your place. You think if instead of me, Bala Sulam would be sitting here, you would receive from him more than from me? Less. It's a matter of suitability between the vessels. Yes?
When I'm looking backward about what I'm doing in dissemination, it seems to me so pitiful with regard to this tremendous wisdom, and for some reason I'm in this square where I need to connect the public to it, and the potential is infinite. And I present it not in words or any other way, but it seems to me so pitiful when I'm looking backwards, so I don't understand why the wisdom needs to spread in such a pitiful way.
No, it's not pitiful. Look at all the systems of this world, how your children grow up, how every single thing develops in a slow and gradual way. Otherwise, there will not be inclusion between every detail and in detail, which in the end is supposed to give us one whole kli, one whole vessel. There must be slow and gradual development. You don't understand these connections in which each detail and detail are connected to all the details, and at every single moment in the world it's being revealed more and more and more. It's a system that... it's not a matter of time. Rather, it's the discernment of the vessels. What is the discernment of the vessels? That the klipot, the shells, are attracted from each other. And then instead of it being adhered, once it was, there was one desire. All of a sudden, it got cut to parts, and the klipa entered between them. And the klipa is now distancing between the two desires. And the more it distances them, it creates the term of time, the definition of time. This distance and properties brings to you, in this distance, between them, time is created. Distance, time, motion, all is created by the shattering. And then you have a matter of inclusion, once again, back together, those and those and those and those. Because the light came in and shattered every single detail of every little crumb and every little granule. But when you turn it over, you build a vessel in which you will get to know the maker, the creator. The difference between the first stage and the third stage is 620 times multiplied. What is this? No, it's getting to know the system of the work against the klipot cannot be immediate. In entrance and exit, into them and out them, the handmaid and the mistress, and so forth. Did you finish?
No.
No? Well, why don't you finish?
Shackles of exile. Thus, the essence of the shackles of exile and its power is from the wisdom of Torah and its secrets, which they have managed to steal and place in their vessels, past all the watchful guarding we have put up. With it, they misled the masses, saying that they have inherited God's work, and cast doubt and heresy too on the souls of Israel.
Yes, but once again, in such a way, it in the end comes to correction. Yes, Eli.
I'm sorry, I will continue, Owen, because it's a feeling that we've been carrying on for a long time. I've been through the lecture and compared to your lectures, and I saw there's nothing in what I wrote and in what you say. Something opens up inside, something that seems dry. There's something huge, and you're standing in front of people. You see they have a desire, and you have nothing to give them, and they have such a desire. And you give something superficial that they are inspired from, if perhaps more than what they get from you, but this is something external.
It's not external. It's something that's for the time addressing, and then and later you'll be going deeper and more addressed and more addressed. So what?
But there's also this recognition that the only place that contains such a similar force to what you're giving is in a group, in that thing called a group that contains the same thing, the same force as in Rav. I think about it before, but in the lecture it escapes me. But if we could have put the force of the group into any dissemination we do...
If you'll be adhered to me, you'll be able to transfer through your vessels what is going through me, but it has to be through you anyhow. It cannot come from me. And the more you will rise in spirituality, you will have less the force of the ability to express until you maybe reach this state of Moshe that didn't know what to say at all.
Also, adhesion, yes, with you, I felt it strongly in Ukraine. I have no spiritual connection with you unless through the group. Without the group, I have
group,
no questions,
yes,
and anything that I'm going to say, it's clear to me that it's stateless, meaningless, that it is all external.
That's why I said, let's go together.
So I'm asking about dissemination. I'm asking, once you gave an example, like, think that the whole world clearly is standing behind you and all the Kabbalists, when you're standing in front of the audience, it's not you. You are the end link. But how can we make it so that it will work?
I understand. What do you think? That I'm something great? I'm the smallest of all that were prior to me, but I have no choice. I have a role, and I execute it as the best I can. So the whole world can come and yell at me, and you're not okay with this, and you're not okay with that. People, I'm doing whatever I can. That's it. I will try. I promise you that I will try the best I can. More than that, can I do? No. Not that I want to clear myself from all blame that I am this and that. This is me. That's all in all. So you were rewarded to such of the representatives of those Nekabah. There's other representatives. And you were benefited by having me. That's all in all what I have. You have something better? Please? No one's holding on to you. You have someone greater than me? You tell me. I also maybe will go to him. I'll be glad to discover and learn from someone. Yes? But for the meantime, it's me. You understand? So you need to see yourself in this way. This is what was given, and this is what I must do. I have no choice. And the more opportunities we get, we must realize them. And that's it. And not to sit and devour yourself. That's the klipa. That's
not good. It's clear that this is reality and this is how it's supposed to be. The question is, how do we turn our preparation for dissemination? Because our whole life is the morning lesson and dissemination. So what do we do during the preparation? You have a certain preparation before lesson, before dissemination. Stuff yourself with sources. How do we penetrate this strength into our preparation? What is the right preparation so that you, when you stand there, you will convey the maximum you can when you're there?
When I prepare myself, I am careful not to read the topic of the lesson, because I want to come to the lesson and to be included with the group, with the desire that is reigning here. And as I am included with this desire and included with what's in the books, I want to be the point which connects between the big desire of the students all over the world and with the source, and that this point now will widen. Let it widen. I want to receive in this a new revelation, and therefore I never prepare myself according to the topic. Even when we go today with Oren, we're going to Rehovot. I don't know what the topic is. Do you know?
The importance of disseminating the wisdom of Kabbalah.
The importance of dissemination of the wisdom of Kabbalah. He says, time to do. And I don't know either. I want from him just to know a few small things, how to build the explanation. He gives it to me in the car. You know, 5 minutes throughout the traveling to there. Because I don't want to miss the opportunity to work with the clay that's before me. And therefore, the preparation you asked, the preparation is not in the topic or in the subject matter. You can read Psalms, you can maybe read some article there, none else besides him, whatever you want. But truly something that nothing has to do with the study, because then you're working with that, with your kli, and you'll remember what you ate before. What you learned earlier. And now you have before you an opportunity.
This is an instruction to us. We have to do the same?
Yes. When you go to study, you should just know a few things. In the end, you know what you need to learn, what you need to teach, 1, 2, 3. We used to have a professor, which we respected very much. And not like others, he used to come out to the cathedral, to where, out of the stand, so he would take out, like Nevites, one of the small little pieces of paper, look at what he has to pass on, put it back into his jacket, and talk. After a little while, he would take it out, and talk. And we used to respect him a lot. First of all, because it was organized. He prepared himself. He didn't just come like that, like some freak, and just talking whatever he feels like. And according to the order. But other than that, we understood. You could see that he didn't need anything else. Everything else exists in him. So you need more or less, I recommend to everyone, this is what needs to be. And if you are really in the material in such a way, it's very hard for you to exit this during the lesson. You have to feel that you're revealing new things.
Yes. What do we do with this complete lack of faith that we have in new things that I can reveal, which are not things I heard from you during the lesson? I don't have faith in myself.
It's not important that you don't think that you can take it out, but within these things you discover a new feeling, a deeper understanding. This is how it is. This is, I ate something unknown and old. You're not finding something new. Your impression, your excitement, it's deeper. That is called new. What, am I doing something new? There's no new thing here. Only all the time, the kelim that are being renewed are bringing us a new impression. Cool? Last.
But you feel the deficiency of the public. I don't know what I'm feeling. I have no idea. I'm standing before the audience.
Show them that you're searching for deficiency from them, what they want from me. Show that to them, that you're willing to serve them, that you're coming to tell them what they want to hear. They have to understand that you're not here from above relating to them. Rather, on the contrary, like this, with the heart. It's okay. It's coming out of you. The fact that you have self-critique, that's good. We finished. We finished the article and the topic.
We have new announcements. Kabbalah Experience in Rehovot. Tonight, Tuesday, September 4th, 7 p.m., we're going to have our weekly lecture with Rav Lightman in Rehovot. It will be broadcasted on Cab TV. Admission is free. Connecting up in the north, dear friends, on the 20th up till to the 22nd of September, we will unite up in the north. We'll have lessons, workshop, meals, culture events up in the north. Details and registration at 1-700-509-209 and at cab.coil. Thank you and have a lovely, lovely day.
Mikhail.